Good morning, folks. Welcome to My Audio Face special show in studio with. It's 12:30. You're listening to CKMS 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. You can also catch us worldwide at radiowaterloo.ca and on Rogers Digital 946. So I'm really excited. Today is sort of the first edition of a variation on My Audio Face, which I've a show I've been doing on Wednesday nights for several months that tends to focus on more on heavy metal music. I do interviews and stuff, but I tend to concentrate it more on that hard rock heavy metal scene. And that show continues. That's Wednesday nights at 10 o'clock. But on Fridays, what I hope to start doing with some success is spend some time chatting with various folks from the community. And I'm really excited. We've got none other than Rob McKenna from the area. And so welcome, Rob.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, it's very exciting. I appreciate you coming on. We may look at this in hindsight as the very first guest, and this is going to be one of those sort of archived recordings that people pull out and go, oh my God, did you hear that? So well, for either one of us, who knows?
Didn't you had a guest last week?
That's true. That was also my first one, but it was sort of not. Yeah, I know. I've learned with marketing. That's a good point, and it's not deliberate. This is more just the way my organization works. But from a marketing perspective, what I've learned, because I've seen other companies or people do this a lot, is they try out concepts without actually telling anybody what they're doing. And then if it doesn't work out, they just stop doing it and they've never really said anything.
So that was the promo episode.
So, yeah, so what we call a soft launch, right? Okay. And if it goes well, then all of a sudden you can sort of out of the blue just say, hey, I'm doing this. And you can look point backwards and show how this was a very deliberate, methodical approach. And people go, oh, yeah, he actually, how clever. He's been doing it right under our nose and we didn't notice. That's how thought out it is. Nice. And when it works out, just it works out. But the reality is, yeah, I've seen from various other ventures that only works when it's successful or when they deem it successful and they proceed. But so last week was actually really cool. That was Morgan Ryder from Deep Dark River was with us, and we had a blast. That was kind of, I think, in my mind, I may put down as the last My Audio Face sort of daytime edition, and then this will become my launch in studio with
launch.
Who knows. I may move that around again, move it back. I don't know that any of it really matters in the end. But it's fun. And the idea sort of has been evolving gradually because I started, when I was started doing the interviews, they tended to be just a small part of my show, wrapped around a bunch of music and tended to be specific to promoting a band's appearance in the area, a new album release, right? Which I love doing and I'll continue to do, but it tended to be very, very narrow focused. And the other thing I noticed is those artists were almost invariably on these giant interview runs to promote whatever. So they tended to sometimes be very tired of talking about the same thing over and over again. But also, I think it was important to them that they stay focused and on message on, hey, we're going to be in town at Maxwell's or, hey, our new album's out. So going too much into other things wasn't always, the time just didn't permit it. So I think that's where I found, well, I'd rather have more time with the guest and kind of explore everything and maybe not have it because of a specific event gives us a chance to chat more. So
cool.
Yeah. So how about Rob, if you want, and I'm certainly being literal in terms of going way back, we've got the time, so go back in as long as you want, but just take us maybe from where was Rob born and how did you get to be who you are today? So you can fill that in 30 seconds or 10 minutes. That's up to you. But where were you born, Rob?
Okay. I was born in Hamilton, which is how I knew you posted recently a band, and I knew they were from Hamilton even before I read their bio or whatever, because they had the Corktown.
Mm-hmm.
They were playing at the Corktown in the background. Yeah, so I grew up in Hamilton, and I went to a Hamilton high school, went to a Hamilton elementary school. But then I came to Waterloo for post-secondary school. And yeah, and then I liked the areas so much. My siblings and also ended up going to school in this area. And then my whole family just relocated to the Waterloo area. So yeah, that's kind of how we all ended up here. And throughout it, like after my post-secondary is kind of when I got into music.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother and I, I had always played guitar, but it was kind of just how everyone plays guitar in their bedroom or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I would always say to my friends, hey, check out this song that I learned how to play. And then they would say, yeah, it doesn't sound anything like the real one. So then I started writing my own stuff so that they couldn't tell me I didn't sound like the original song.
That's smart. Okay. Yeah. That's a good way around that.
So, but then eventually my brother bought his, he's a little bit younger than I am, bought a drum kit. And that's when we kind of started writing music and doing different things like that. And since then, I guess in post-secondary, we created a band called Cyanide Kiss.
Okay.
That we had the CD for in here, but the CD has gone missing. But Scary picture's still in here.
Okay, so we have the case without the CD?
Yeah, we have the case. And and we did that for a little while, which was fun. Hamilton has got a great... I feel like they've got and I don't know why, but they've got a great little scene with bars that want live music. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that go into those... establishments to see original live music.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like here it's a little bit more people are looking for the cover bands or the background music or...
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm just going to the wrong places. I don't know.
Well, I hear what you're saying. I mean, I don't know either scene particularly in depth, but I as soon as you're saying that, that sounds right. And that particularly, I don't know if it's the way Hamilton's sort of laid out, that a lot of those bars too tend to be clustered in sort of in same area.
Yeah.
I mean, Toronto obviously is so big that you could say both things about it. Because I found where I used to go, if I did go somewhere, it seemed like, yeah, everybody wanted cover bands and stuff. And it was, or it was not you know... There was a time where if I was looking for live music, it was hard to find because I just didn't know where to look. Yeah. If you know where to look, there's some thriving communities, but they tend to be a little genre specific, and they're not.
Yep.
You know, I guess they're not the most broadly advertised or the most commercial known places. So if you just randomly ask somebody, you probably won't be told they'll go here.
Yeah.
So you might skip right over them. So maybe we have that in the region. But you're right. I mean, the live bands I know, they tend to be in the same few clubs, and it tends to be genre specific. I mean, the Boathouse might be an exception.
Yeah.
That tends to be pretty quite a variety. So that's one go-to place that seems to have a lot of. But you know, it's not. It's easy. It's a well-known, relatively easy to get to. By bus and car. I don't know if it's an easy walk for anybody, right? Like, is it...
Oh, for the Boathouse?
Yeah, like if you were downtown, can you actually just walk on over there? Or is it... It's a bit of a distance, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. Because it's not right off King or anything.
Yeah,
you gotta go down Victoria, and it's on the park, and...
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and it's I guess, isolated in that sense, right? I think... If you're going there, you're going there. And if you're going somewhere else, you're not going to end up there. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's, but, okay. So, yeah. Do you still have family in Hamilton now? Or are they all mostly here?
My immediate family's mostly here. I still do have a bunch of family still in Hamilton.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. Which is not that far.
No. And, we do have some family that's in Toronto. So, if we meet for Christmas or anything like that, it's... Hamilton's the hub where,
okay,
right in the middle where we always meet. So
okay, So since you're post-secondary, you've stayed here, you've established yourself, and this is sort of home now.
Yep.
Was there any periods in there that you traveled outside for any periods at all?
I'm not much of the more my brother's the traveler. Yeah. Even right now, he's off somewhere traveling. I don't know where.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, he's, I don't know. He's done, like, the trips to India and to Thailand and to all those things, and he's at one of those places somewhere right now.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
But that, so you have not?
No.
Is it out of just not the same burning desire to physically travel?
Yeah. I don't think, and I don't like bugs very much.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's definitely, that's included in any kind of travel,
that's
I think.
Right. Yeah.
Right. We have our share here, but I suppose here we know how to, you know, you usually figure out how to handle things in your own immediate area, right?
Yeah.
So now just a question going back to your guitar. So it doesn't sound like you did any formal lessons as a kid then? You just picked it up and started playing?
Yeah. Okay. I can remember one time specifically. I took grade 12 guitar or something in high school. And it was my first introduction. Like I had not played guitar before this time. And or grade 11 or something, guitar. Mm-hmm. And I just had so much fun. It was just acoustic guitars. But then the teacher the one day brought out the electric guitar and his pedals and stuff like that and put on like a cheesy looped drum beat and just showed him like playing around with it. And then he said, "Does anyone want to try it?" And everyone was too embarrassed to go up and try it. But I thought, everyone knows I don't know what I'm doing, so yeah, I'll try it. And I had so much fun. I didn't know what I was doing, and I was not good, but I had so much fun that that's kind of where I started out playing. And I thought it sounded good just because of the effect pedal.
Yeah.
So I'm not even that great. Like, we recorded with Gary Kane, who's a local blues musician, and he's unbelievable. Like, he can play so fast and all the stuff, but I can't do any of that. But I say I more play the effects.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after playing the guitar for a while and doing the different effects, for this newer project that we were doing, Robot Apocalypse, I switched to the bass. So I'm playing bass, and then we picked up Kara Lee, who's another local musician, who's just currently releasing her home EP. She is playing, she's doing the vocals, which is a big job because we've got vocals from different people in Vancouver and a whole bunch of different vocals. And she's doing that as well as the guitar parts.
Oh, wow. Okay. So she does all, so do you do any vocals yourself or no?
I do vocals on one track, and some background vocals. But she's kind of picking up the main vocals of it,
Okay. So how about, let's play my favorite song from Robot Apocalypse. Just, I want to talk to you more about that album, but let's put that on so the folks can hear. We'll hear it, and then we'll get some more details. I think we've got it lined up, and then, of course, so this is in studio with Mr. K. It is 12:44 right here on CKMS 102.7 Radio Waterloo. You can listen to us on Rogers Digital 946 and worldwide at radiowaterloo.ca/listen. And here, I think, something moved, but bear with us. I want to get my favorite song on, not these other great songs. So, of course, what's it doing? Let's check.
Yes.
Mechanical Heart, that was off the just released Robot Apocalypse compilation album, and you are listening to In Studio with Mr. K on CKMS 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo, Rogers Digital 946, and of course worldwide at radiowaterloo.ca/listen. If you want to get a hold of Mr. K on Facebook, just go to @myaudioface. Occasionally, I send out tweets. That's also at myaudioface. And you could reach me by email, myaudioface@gmail.com. We are sitting in studio with Rob McKenna. And Rob, you were, of course, intimately involved with Robot Apocalypse and the album that just came out. Can you tell us how it came to be? Well, tell us a bit about the song we just heard and a bit more about the project.
That one that people just heard is kind of a neat one, because that's one of the earlier ones that we put together. And what was neat about it was we liked, so in the initial recording, the way that we did most of the songs was me and my brother would kind of be in a room and we'd kind of jam for a while. And if we came upon kind of a part of a song that we'd like, we'd record that, and we'd use that idea and kind of work with that idea to put together a song. So this one, we liked the idea for that, and we brought in another guy from Cyanide Kiss, Matt Cross, who's a buddy of ours, and he did the keyboards on it. So we did that, and then we were looking for a whole bunch of artists, and the idea behind the project was we wanted to work with local Kitchener-Waterloo artists and kind of have a big collaboration album where it could be any different type of music would collaborate in on the song, and then we would use whatever they put together. So like we sent them the files, they worked with it, sent it back to us, we sent it to someone else. And at the same time, we were also trying to get some national bands that were well known to kind of promote the local scene as well. So this one was the first one where we got a whole bunch of that going. We got Elsa Jane, who played, we saw her at, I don't know if it was last year or the year before's CKMS fundraiser event. Okay. She just released an album. She was a First Nations singer who released an album. I believe it was called Heart. And she was fantastic at that show. So we asked her and she was interested in it. So she recorded the vocals and sent it back to us.
Okay.
And then once we had the vocals, we sent it out to Parker Bosley, who is kind of a he's not one of the writing musicians, but he performs with Hot Hot Heat and the Mounties, and he's a writing musician for the Gay 90s and Fur Trade.
Okay.
And he did the guitars. And then we took that, and I was talking online with Ian Summers from the band Limblifter, and he ended up putting some synthesizers and the heavier guitar that you can hear. And it was neat because, again, my brother was away when I was getting all these collaborations. So he knew how the song sounded initially, but then I would get a new layer and put it together and then kind of share it with everyone, and everyone would be in awe just from working with these like high-class musicians, how it like brings the song up a whole nother level. And then we get more audio from a different person, and then it would just heighten it again. So when he returned, he listened to it and was kind of blown away by where the song started out and kind of how it ended up. So.
Yeah. And so you're saying, so that song, and I'm assuming many of the others, was actually literally brought together in that each component was recorded in a separate location at a separate time, and then was all mixed together. So, in that particular group of musicians has never actually played the song together.
No.
Which is, that blows me away. Like, if I listen to that, even understanding technology and understanding, you know, how records are made, obviously I can't tell, which is the whole idea, but it still boggles my mind. I listen to that and I think, you know, because there's a real feel to that song in particular that just seems like you would have to be together to make it work. Doesn't matter what you could do with the mixing. So that's incredible. I really, really enjoy that song. So how then are you, so this is how you're going to, in terms of when you guys perform live, you've got Kara then who's going to pick up the vocals.
Yeah. And Elsa Jane has got quite a high vocal. So that one in particular, she's had to rework some of the songs. Even one of the other ones, like Pick Me Up, is Ulysses Copard from a band called Smash Boom Pow in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. He's got a really high vocal range too. So we've kind of come up with different versions of the song, which is on our Facebook event, why when we're playing at the Boathouse in March, we say we're going to be playing versions of these songs because we can't make it sound exactly the same as the album's put together. But I think that kind of complements it as well, because sometimes you go and you see the concert and you hear the exact same thing as on the album, whereas this will be a little bit different, and we're kind of coming up with renditions of how we can make the song sound. And they're pretty close to the album, but there's some differences, yeah.
Cool. Now, is there a plan to either record, to record live and release that as an album, or to do the songs with the current lineup? Is that something you're thinking about?
We're sitting on right now, and we're going to release it soon. We recorded some rehearsals of them, and we're going to release those. And I always like recording different projects and things like that. So I imagine that we'll probably record in some form the Boathouse show, whether it's audio or audio and video. And then, I don't know, we possibly a release with that as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know what you mean, particularly, you know, when you're seeing the same band that you might enjoy the studio albums. And there's something to be said for both cases, where, you know, some people will appreciate that they replicate the album exactly or as much as possible, because that's why they like the band. That's why they went to see them. I used to be that way. As a younger concert goer, I remember being actually quite upset when they'd take liberties with their own songs.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, well, what are you doing? You know, if that's not what you recorded, that's not what I came here for.
Yeah.
Having aged somewhat and having more of an appreciation for music, and especially when you hear other bands' takes on a band,
then even to hear the originals do something different, I can then appreciate that again. The fact is, if you really like the album, you can always go listen to it again, right?
Yep,
so,
yep.
You know, so I think that's certainly going to actually bring something new and exciting to the concert. So, and that's, so the Boathouse concert is March
16th. Okay, yeah,
so,
I'm pretty
so
sure.
That's, and is that a ticket pre-sale at the door, or what's the...
It's a free concert. So yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Okay. So how now, the Boathouse is a great venue for music, as we were talking about earlier, but it's not huge. Do you know the capacity? Is it a couple hundred?
I've only been to the Boathouse, and it was a long time ago before the whole redesign.
Okay.
So I haven't seen it since it's been...
It's
reopen.
I mean, it's a, I think for music, for live, you know, for live rock or live performances really in general, it's a great intimate location. It's well suited for that. I've enjoyed the concerts I've seen there. But I'm just thinking when you say free concert, how will you handle the capacity? I guess it's just show up early, line up, and if we're full, then too bad. You'll have to show up early next time.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I mean, those shows I find are always the best, though. Like we just released a video for one of our kind of more abstract songs on this album.
Okay.
The video highlights there was a house. I don't know if you know the house in Waterloo called the Trepid House.
No. Which song is this for?
This is for the...
For a different project?
No, for the song on this one. The song's Technotronic Tyranny.
Okay.
But the song is about this house called the Trepid House that used to be right on King Street in Waterloo, and they've since torn it down. And what was neat about this was there was a record label that used, and all the people in the record label used to live in this house.
Okay.
And in the front living room, they used to put on shows. And there were some big Canadian bands that played at it, like a lot of the bands that I like to play on my program.
Mm-hmm.
Pick a Piper, Hey Rosetta, Sun Parlor Players. A whole bunch of these bands would play at this house. And it was pay what you can, bring your own booze. You just go in and these pretty big bands would be there playing. And you'd pile into the living room and stand up on the couch and watch these bands. And I mm-hmm. always found that to be like the coolest show.
Yeah.
Where you're just crammed into this room with the band and you're almost on stage with them because everyone's jam-packed in there. So
oh, for sure, yeah, that intimacy and that closeness, and I guess you're truly getting obviously folks that want to be there. It's not the only reason to be there pretty much is to listen to the music and enjoy the show. So yeah, let's hope for that on March 16th, and that's gonna be exciting. So that's Friday, 8 o'clock at the Boathouse. And a quick mention, the Facebook page for Robot Apocalypse is, well, you can search Robot Apocalypse, you'll find them. The official tag is Robot Apocalypse Collective. And so the details about the show are there, including a link to the video for Technotronic Tyranny, I see is posted there as well. Is there a website, or is that the place to go?
That's the place to go.
Okay, perfect.
Right now, yeah.
Surprisingly, surprisingly to me, and I think it might lead us and it'll lead me into the next question. But I did notice a couple times when I do a search for, I think I did a search for Robot Apocalypse just on Google without specifying anything, and it's a surprisingly common theme that has nothing to do with your album. I was a little upset when I searched it, and all these other things come up, and I'm going, excuse me, I'm looking for a specific album, I'd like to see that. And Google presented me with all kinds of preparations for what I should do in the event of. So on that note, maybe you could share with us how did this name come about, and what's behind it.
So okay, yeah, the name kind of goes back, we with my radio program.
Mm-hmm.
in my radio program, I've had a couple different co-hosts. So I started out, my co-host was my brother, and then it switched to DJ Adrock, and now it switched to my son. So my brother kind of wasn't my co-host at this time. It was DJ Adrock, but my brother had an idea for what he wanted to, this thing that he wanted to build. So he came into the studio and he pitched to us this idea of an audio comic.
Okay. So an audio comic as in a comic strip, but audio.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and I guess it kind of, the idea was way back when the station started, one of the big draws to Radio Waterloo was radio dramas.
Okay.
That they would write these stories and then kind of act out just with voice these stories over the radio, and people would tune in and listen to these audio stories.
Okay.
So we had this idea of putting together an audio comic, and he kind of started the writing of it and was telling us about it. We ended up doing this whole thing, and we kind of combined it with some local artists as well, who's kind of made a couple pages for each of the audio episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got to season two of that, after season one, we pitched the idea to the city of Waterloo, and we got a grant to make the second season of it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
When we were doing season two, the DJ Adrock's son said, can it have robots attacking, like killer robots? And we were thinking, well, how are we going to write killer robots into this?
So what was happening, just to back up a bit, what was happening in the story in season one at that point?
In season one, there's an accident where the main character, DJ Jeffy Jeff, and this other person end up getting electrocuted at the same time, which is where they get their superpowers.
Okay.
And the bad guy, air quote, because he ends up turning into a good guy, but he doesn't like all this technology that's coming into the area. So he's going and he's kind of destroying the technology.
Okay.
And at the same time, there's this band called Quarterback, who is kind of in their music is putting these brainwashing things to make the general public like their music.
Okay, well, that's smart, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So that's kind of where the story is, and then they were saying, let's add in a robot apocalypse almost. So in season two, we were able to work it in into the last episode, and I think it actually fits really well. It seems like a good ending at the end of the episode right before the last one, season two, episode four. But then episode five, I think it's like, well, I'm not comparing it to Breaking Bad, but in the sense where I feel like Breaking Bad was awesome and it could have finished, and then they came back and did another season and it was like, that just made it even better.
Okay.
In that sense, like I feel like it could have ended at the episode four, but episode five even made it a little even better. So we worked it in, and then we were trying to come up with a name for this project. So in season two, with the grant money, actually we got a grant from the city of Kitchener and from the city of Waterloo, and we were only expecting to get one or the other.
Okay.
So
we got both.
Yeah, we got both. So with the extra money, we thought, well, the whole idea of the audio comic is to promote local bands, because the backdrop of it was all Canadian music.
Okay.
Why don't we try recording our own music? Because as part of the first episode, the quarterback song that was kind of hypnotizing people, we got back into recording. We hadn't done recording in a few years. So we recorded that quarterback song. So in season two, we thought, why don't we record and see if any local musicians or national Canadian musicians would want to record with us, mm-hmm. and we can offer them some of this grant money. And so that is where the whole idea of it started. And then we were trying to come up with a name for the project, and we were trying to come up with something kind of Canadian sounding, because we were only going with Canadian musicians to work with and to promote. Mm-hmm. So we were looking at different things, kind of like how the Mounties chose the name the Mounties. But then the one voice actor said, well, why don't we just go with Robot Apocalypse? And then we thought, yeah, that's kind of how the story ends. So let's go with that. So
okay. So that's, so we go from the creation of a comic book, which evolves, or sorry, not a comic book, but a audio comic concept, which had two seasons on air. From that, the actual, so it's a little bit like reality imitating art here, because the sort of storyline underlying, like the backdrop of the comic series is Canadian music, Canadian artists, and now an actual real life album collective comes out of Canadian artists performing, and that's out as a download on like Bandcamp and
vinyl.
Okay, and Bandcamp is it free?
Yep.
Okay,
people can get it free. Yeah.
So which is a pretty darn good price. So obviously for everybody listening, that's not a very hard sell, I don't think. So you go to Bandcamp, you find Robot Apocalypse, and then you download it. You can, of course, once you're there, you'll see you can choose to pay any amount you'd like, and that money obviously goes to help fund the project. Like that,
yeah.
Bandcamp, but it's not money going to Bandcamp, right? The majority comes to...
That's right. It's kind of like a crowdsourcing thing. Like if you did Kickstarter, I'm sure Kickstarter takes a little bit of it, but then the majority of it goes to the project that you're supporting. Yeah.
Yeah. So so if you can't afford that or whatnot, you can download it for free. The band, the artists choose that. So You're not being ripped off in any way. You've chosen. You want the music available, so people shouldn't feel bad. We want them to download the music and listen to it. If you can contribute, that's great. But and I point that out because I think sometimes people would rather not do anything because they feel like somehow they're being cheap. Bandcamp, I want to say, is not bad. My experience as a user of it, it does prompt you when you go to the name your own price type of downloads. Yeah. It does say if you have to put a zero, which is an interesting sort of psychological thing. It does make you choose the amount zero, and it gives you like one, what I'll call a one minor guilt purchase attempt where it says, hey, if you contribute like a dollar, you get one or two little perks that are not insignificant and might convince somebody to do that. But that's it. Otherwise, you just say, no, I'm good with my zero, download, it's done. It's totally fine. So that's why I mentioned it, because I think sometimes people are just they get very hesitant with electronic or websites that go, okay, are you sure? Are you sure? Yeah. And then they go, you know what, I don't want to be harassed for money for the rest of my life. It isn't like that at all. So, all right. So back to Robot Apocalypse. So you can go download it at no charge on Bandcamp. Limited amount of vinyl also available, though. That would be through your Facebook page. Just get a hold of you.
Yep. Yeah. Or even, I think Bandcamp's kind of neat where you can put an order up as well.
Okay.
So people can order it and it will notify us as well. We've got it into a couple local places. Like if you go to Orange Monkey in Waterloo, or there's a place in Kitchener called X Disc C. Almost like Ecstasy, but it's X-Disc-C.
Okay.
They've got it, and I believe Encore Records has it as well.
Okay.
The vinyl version, yeah.
Okay. And will you also have vinyl at the show at the Boathouse? Okay.
Yep.
And physical CD, though? No.
No. But, okay. One thing that we will have, which I think is also a pretty neat idea, is we've got some USBs that have there's a robot head that's been designed with a 3D printer. And as you can, yeah.
Should we, what do you think? Should we answer the phone, Rob?
Go for it. Let's see.
Let's see what happens. Okay, this is live radio. Could be a fan calling in for Rob. Let's find out. Good afternoon, CKMS. Hey, Cam, you're live on the air. How's it going? Yeah, absolutely. We are, yeah. We took a chance. We thought it could be a solicitor. We thought it might have been a fan. We're in a live interview with Mr. Rob McKenna from Robot Apocalypse. Well, now you're a superstar. It's great. So there you go, Mr. Cam. So we're going to finish. Do you have a question? Why don't you ask a question for Rob so that you're now officially part of the show? So hang on one sec. Are you on speaker? Try that, Cam.
Oh, I can hear you.
There we go. Okay.
I'm excited about this. And this is like an on-the-spot interview.
Absolutely. We were just talking about Robot Apocalypse, and so if you have a question for Rob around that, this is your chance.
Okay, yeah, I haven't had a chance to sample the full album yet, but I did catch a little bit on JD's show the one day. He was featuring the
nice.
The album. I'd have to like review all the artists and maybe have some questions about the artists, but I guess just the overall process of just getting that vinyl together and pressing your own vinyl, Rob, that's something I don't have experience in. How is that? How did that go for you? Just do you have experience doing that in the past, or was it a first for you as well?
Actually, that's a good question, and I'm surprised that, you know, all like not having heard the whole thing, or I guess maybe from JD, how it was a whole collaboration and everything. But yeah, I have put together a CD before, and the process is pretty similar to putting a CD together. So with our old band Cyanide Kiss, we put together a CD. With this one, a vinyl, the most difficult part and the I guess the most different part from putting together a CD is that when you mix and master, it has to be what they call mastered for vinyl, which I guess is it's different than mastering for for digital or for a CD. So I wasn't used to that, and apparently my mastering wasn't quite perfect, and so they had to take my masters and then kind of go and tweak them a little bit for the vinyl, which was kind of neat. So.
Yeah, no, that's how the pros do it, you know? It's like it gets passed down, you know how it is, but
yeah.
CKMS, we're just on the professional level, you know? It goes through to one sound guy to the next guy until it gets to the master of all masters of the mastering.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks, Cam, for your question. That's really cool. Appreciate you coming on. And we will talk with you soon. Thank you, Cam. That was one of our callers. So there you go. We haven't mentioned that. I forget to mention the phone number on air. And being a little bit tight for time, I think I'll refrain on this show. But this is absolutely one of the fun things that can happen right here on CKMS.
Yeah, live radio.
Spontaneous questions, and that was a. That was a cool one, yeah. So did you, in terms of just to follow up on Cam's question, do you have to make a commitment to a larger amount, like a specific volume that you have to buy, or is it something that's not, is the barrier to do this easier than, say, 20 years ago? for an artist?
I don't know. You do have to commit to a certain amount. I think you have to commit to 200 or 300. They've got kind of these packages that you kind of just go with, and then they
send it out. That doesn't sound... I mean, that's still two or 300, but it's not... I'm guessing, you know, in the years past, those minimums, I think, would have been quite a bit higher. I don't think they had the technical capability to make those, you know, what would be considered a short run when they're kind of building up for millions and millions in that industry. So that's exciting. And I think it also brings a real rarity to the album, right? I think it's, you know, just about everybody can... Very few people can honestly say, yes, I have put out an album and I actually physically put out a vinyl album. That's, you know, that there's something to be said for that. And, you know, it's, who knows where it goes from there, right?
Yeah.
Now, obviously there's several different bands that you had collaborating on the album. Was there a song or two that you particularly... like that you want to play that relate to, or that are from those artists?
Sure. I've got, and I know you like kind of the heavier stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some that are kind of heavy. They're heavier than I would say Pick Me Up, or sorry, they're on the song Pick Me Up, but they're heavier than Mechanical Heart. There's a couple bands. One of them in particular is a local band, Life in Vacuum, who was one of the headliners, or played the main stage at the Koi Music Festival.
Okay.
Which is kind of a heavier punk kind of one. And then also Smash Boom Pow, who are from Vancouver, and mm-hmm. he does the vocals on a bunch of the tracks, and I find his vocals phenomenal. So
cool. Let's listen to that. This is In Studio with Mr. K. We've been speaking with Rob McKenna, right here on CKMS 102.7 FM. You can also hear us, Rogers Digital 946, worldwide at radiowaterloo.ca. We'll be right back. All right. Back with Mr. K here on In Studio With. It is 1:26 p.m. on CKMS Radio Waterloo 102.7. We're just wrapping up with Mr. Rob McKenna from Robot Apocalypse, among other great things. Tell us, what was it? What were the two bands we heard, Rob?
Smash Boom Pow was the first one with their track
Listen to Me. And the second one was a local band, Life in Vacuum. And that's off their 5 album, which these guys are awesome. They play, they usually are playing some stage at the Koi Music Festival. Last year they played the main stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen them at a few different places, from the Chainsaw to the Princess Cafe, which was way too loud for the Princess Cafe I saw them there. A whole bunch of different places, and they're great.
Too loud, meaning the Princess Cafe didn't appreciate the loudness?
No, they love it. Okay. For me, it was too loud. The Princess Cafe, from time to time, I don't know if they do it anymore, but they hold like rock bands in their mini cafe playing full on in the mornings.
Oh, wow.
Which is, first of all, in that mini cafe that's all glass walls, the sound is bouncing everywhere and it's loud. But first thing in the morning makes it even crazier. So.
Okay. Yeah, that would be something. I know what you mean, yeah, but too loud. I didn't think such a thing was possible, but I'm trying to remember which concert, because I know certainly in the olden days, there was no, you know, there was no upper limit to loudness from a health perspective. So it was just the louder the better. And, you know, if you could get an ordinance, or a ticket for loudness, I think that was considered, you know, good.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And then there was a period, I want to say maybe starting 15 to 20 years ago, where, you know, they just stopped being very loud out of health concerns. And I remember going to lots of concerts, you know, and they just weren't very loud to me. They were fine, but they just weren't. I didn't have the ear ringing deafness that I used to have. But at the last concert I went to, I did again. It was the first concert in many years that I thought I really probably should have considered earplugs. I still don't know if I would wear them. I might. I mean, it's very common. It's actually amazing when I go to concerts how common it is to see people of all ages, right? It's not an old person thing or a children thing. It's anybody very smart. You want to keep your hearing, right?
I've seen bands, too, that sell the earplugs at their concession stand or
That's smart. Why not, right? Yeah. Absolutely. So speaking of concerts, folks, don't forget that March 16th, at the Boathouse, Robot Apocalypse, this is your premiere show.
Yeah.
No charge.
No charge.
There you go. So that's, you know, if it's not already in your calendar, then, you know, I don't know what else to tell you. I'm really looking forward to that. And in the little bit of time we have left, why don't you, do you want to tease us on any updates on the documentary that you're working on? We didn't get much of a chance to talk about the detail, but maybe tell us a bit about it and if there's any dates to look forward to.
Okay. The documentary, it's the Radio Waterloo documentary. It documents the history of this station, as well as a bunch of CKWR and kind of the starting of community radio in Canada. Apparently, everything kind of started with the people who were at Radio Waterloo. So it's kind of neat. It started out just being a documentary about this station, and I ended up finding out that the people who started up the station weren't able to get it going and started community radio in Canada. And that's why CKWR, they always say that we're the Canada's first number one radio station,
because
they were the first created by people that came from Radio Waterloo, which is kind of neat.
Absolutely.
And then the whole story about the referendum, too, which kind of made it the station that it is today instead of the University of Waterloo station.
So. Right. Okay. So there's quite a history and a story there. And Robot Apocalypse album that's released is the official soundtrack of the documentary.
Yep.
And do we have any sense, any dates we can give the audience in terms of when they can get a peek at the documentary?
See, there's a couple festivals. There's the Grand River Film Festival and the Deep Cuts Film Festival, okay, who I've been talking with, and I'm hoping to get some screenings going with there, with them. And then there's also the Princess Cinema, where I'm hoping to get some screenings with them as well. But right now they're doing another local documentary by Rob Ring, which is, oh, I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head, but it's about the Bridge Street General, which is kind of a neat documentary as well. And that one keeps getting bigger and bigger, and they keep doing more and more shows for it. So
okay,
he's like, well, what, maybe once this is kind of settled down, we'll get your documentary in here.
Okay.
But that's a big one that's on right now at the Princess Cinema. So.
Awesome. And the title of the documentary
is Radio Waterloo.
Okay. So definitely we'll keep an eye. Obviously, the CKMS webpage will have details, yep, on the documentary. And where else? Is there a documentary page, or is that really
there
the go-to?
There isn't a documentary.
So,
yeah,
so CKMS, which is also on Facebook, our website is radiowaterloo.ca. I'm being told that we've cut into a little bit of the Wings broadcast. So thank you in advance for letting us go over a little bit. We'll sign off. Let's get a quick mention, though, Rob. You talked about your show. Please tell us the name of your show, and because it's still on. It's been on for many years. So
yeah,
when can we catch it here on the airwaves?
So Mano a Mano is now on Saturdays from 4 till 5. It's a bi-weekly show. And at the same time, me and my son are also doing live stream live to YouTube. So you can either watch the show on YouTube, and we're trying to make it more and more engaging each week. It's a brand new thing for us. We just started doing that this year. Or you can tune in on 102.7 or at radiowaterloo.ca and listen to it that way as well.
Awesome. So another Facebook page. So hopefully you're writing all these things down. But at Mano a Mano Radio is where you can go to keep up on those ongoings. And that's tomorrow. So is tomorrow one of the bi-weeklies? Or next Saturday?
Tomorrow is a training, and then next week.
So every other week from 4 to 5 on Saturdays, Mano a Mano, including a live stream on YouTube. And I did catch a bit of it last week. It's pretty cool. It's busy, and it adds an element. It's something I think we're going to see more and more of, hopefully at the station. I'm glad that you're sort of one of a few shows that are doing live video. It does bring an element. I'll confess that the initial concept of video radio confused me when it came out. I think the first I heard of it was a sports show that did it, many years ago, where they now get to watch the hosts on TV while they talk on the radio, and it took my mind a little bit to get around it. But it's a developing medium, and I think it's all about the hosts and the artists to do what they can with it to make it interesting.
Yep.
So far, I'd say the one episode of Mano a Mano I saw, it brings it. I think you're being carried a little bit by your co-DJ. But that's okay. That's why you want to have a team. So thanks so much, Rob. And let's continue the conversation. Thank you for listening. You're listening to CKMS 102.7 FM. Mm-hmm.